tonight, and that's the passage that we're going to be looking at, Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. I had the opportunity to give a devotion at the Upward, one of the Upward basketball games yesterday. We are wrapped up in Upward basketball on most Saturdays, and when I was reffing one of the games, I gave a devotion at halftime as well, which was just a few minutes long, but I realized in that time of sharing that devotion that the cold that I had, a virus that I had several days ago, still lingering a little bit. And usually when I stand up to speak or to preach, then I'll start having drainage or something going on, coughing and stuff. So I pray that doesn't happen tonight. I'll try to make my words to be few, but cover these passages together, which really are saying some great truths, have some great truths for us tonight. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Please follow along in your copy of God's Word, and I'll read aloud these verses tonight. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. After I pray, I'd like to share with you a message entitled Gospel Furtherance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. And Lord, as always, it is our prayer that you would bless the preaching of your word. As we trust, Lord, you will bless the reading of it. And God, we pray tonight that we would see the truth that is found in this passage and that it would impact our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, gospel furtherance. And you may have seen in this passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul is talking about the furtherance of the gospel there in verse 12. The thing about the church in Philippi and chapter 1, I guess in particular, is that you just see the gospel all over it. You see how the gospel has impacted Paul's life, and you see how the gospel has impacted this church in Philippi, and how the gospel has brought the two together. This once Pharisee and Jew, who was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, has now been brought into, or many Gentiles have been brought into the family of Christ through this very same gospel. The same gospel that saved Paul is the same gospel that saved the Philippians, and they have a tremendous relationship. We saw in the first few verses that this is a gospel-proven church. Last week, a couple weeks ago, we looked at a message entitled Gospel-Rooted Prayer, as he prayed for them in verses 9 through 11. And now we come to this message that I entitled Gospel Furtherance. Let's look at together, and I want to draw out 3 points. We're going to explain the text and then seek to apply the text. We're going to draw out 3 points from this passage that I hope will be clear to us. And the first one comes from verses 12 through 14. Here, first of all, we see gospel advancement is happening. Gospel advancement is happening. We know that the Apostle Paul was in prison. He was likely in Rome. We would find him there in the end of the book of Acts in the 28th chapter after that perilous voyage which he was upon, where there was shipwreck. He eventually made it and bitten by a viper, but eventually he made it to Rome. He is in prison, and the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 28 that he remained there 2 whole years. And while he was there, he preached the gospel and was able to influence many for that purpose. Well, the church in Philippi, obviously loving Paul very much, knows that he's in prison. And they would be concerned about him, and they have even sent to him a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus almost dying when he went to Paul, who was in prison. But Epaphroditus facing much trouble and sickness, and Paul was very concerned about him, afraid to even that he was going to experience sorrow upon sorrow, as we learn in chapter 2. But God healed Epaphroditus, but he was the Philippians' messenger to Paul. So they loved him greatly. And Paul here writes in verse 12, he says, "But I want you to know." So he wants to be very clear to them about what is going on with him, what is happening, and what has happened, and what is continuing to happen. And we see as the passage unfolds in verse 12, he says, "That the things which happened to me." Now, the things which happened to me, we could go to the book of Acts, as I mentioned, that shipwreck, the beatings that he has endured, the persecution, the standing before kings and before governors to give a defense for the gospel. All of these things that happen in the book of Acts leading up to chapter 28 are the things which happened to me. And he continues and he says, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That word furtherance right there is a word that means prosper. It means advancement. It's like he's saying here, like a football team moving up the field or down the field toward the goal. Here he is like the New England Patriots in the second half or in the fourth quarter, couldn't be stopped. They were moving, and like Clemson, just couldn't be stopped by Alabama's defense eventually. It was moving up and down the field, scoring at will. But here's he's saying that the gospel is being advanced. And he continues and really gives us two ways. If you notice this in verses 13 and 14, he gives us two ways in which the gospel is advanced. Take a look at it. I don't have it in your notes, but you might want to jot this down. You could write maybe the first one, chains are in Christ. Because in verse 13, he says, so that, remember, the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. Good indication there of where Paul is. Speaking of this guard, and we could look at chapter 28 and see that there were of Acts and see that there were guards who were assigned to him during that time that he was there in Rome in prison awaiting trial before Caesar. But it says that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest. So it wasn't just the guard, but it was those also outside. Others who had heard about Paul, others maybe who had come and visited Paul and had interaction with him during this time, but all those who encountered the Apostle Paul, all the rest, something had become evident to them. And what is that? We see it at the end of verse 13, that my chains are in Christ. You see, they walked away from hearing the Apostle Paul, from spending time with him, and they walked away with evidence, with it being evident that he was there because of Jesus Christ. He wasn't there because he had done wrong. He wasn't there because of something that was criminal on his part, but he had been placed there because of preaching Jesus Christ. And we see further the second point in verse 14, or the second reason for the furtherance of the gospel, or how the gospel is being furthered, is in verse 14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So the first point, Paul's chains are in Christ. That was evident. The second reason, or the way in which the gospel was furthered, is because people now are more bold to speak. They are more confident to speak the word of Christ. And it was because of Paul's being imprisoned, the things that had happened to him, the sufferings that he had endured, all of that caused these two reactions. All of that caused the gospel to be furthered in these two ways that he gives us here in verse 13 and 14. Now, very quickly, I want to ask you to turn over to Acts chapter 28. I just want to point out a couple of verses because I want us to get our finger on this to make this connection that we might see where the Apostle Paul is. And as we turn over there, you can see in verse 16, Acts chapter 28, verse 16. He arrives in Rome, but in verse 16 it says, "Now when we came to Rome," you notice "we" there, that means Luke was with him. There are some "we" sections in the book of Acts where Luke is actually present. And when you see "we" there, you know Luke wasn't just doing research, but he knows it from firsthand experience. So he says, "Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him." How would you like to be that soldier or soldiers who was guarding the Apostle Paul for two whole years? What an experience. It was such an experience that the whole palace guard came to know that his chains were in Christ. And then if you look at the end of the chapter, in verse 28 is where we'll pick up. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Verse 30. Then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Turn back to Philippians now, if you would. I wanted you to have that point of reference in Acts chapter 28. And I hope that we see here these two ways in which he seems to be saying the gospel is being furthered. And it's so encouraging to see this, especially in verse 14, I suppose, because he points out here that what his life has encountered has resulted in other believers having more boldness to preach Christ. Have y'all ever experienced that? Where you saw someone doing something for the Lord, and suddenly after seeing them live for the Lord in such and such a way, that you suddenly had courage to seek to do the same thing yourself? Maybe you heard about someone sharing the gospel with a neighbor, and you realized, well, they had boldness to share the gospel with their neighbor. Why can't I have the boldness to share the gospel with my neighbor? So that's often the way it works, and that's exactly what's taking place here. Let's go to point number two. Gospel advancement via foe and friend. Gospel advancement via foe and friend. We see, first of all, that it is happening. And the Philippians, who are gospel-centered, are glad to hear that. And now, he points out in verses 15 through 17 that this happened for those who were foe, and from those who were friend. If you look at it in verse 15. He writes there and he says, "Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife." So some were preaching from jealousy, from covetousness for Paul's position, and some from strife. They weren't doing it because they loved Paul, because they were at peace with him or thought he was a great guy. They were doing it to get at him. And he goes on there in verse 15 and he says, "And some from goodwill." So there's two different types of people here. Those who are goodwill, those who mean well in what they are doing and are loving behind it, as we'll see in just a second. Look at verse 16 now. He explains both of these two groups. In verse 16, "The former preach Christ," that is those who preach from envy and strife, "the former preach Christ from selfish ambition." So we see that there. They preach it from selfish ambition, not sincerely. Can you imagine being the Apostle Paul and obviously being, I mean, his first name was the, middle name Apostle, last name Paul. How much better do you get than that? The Apostle Paul. And he's seen the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, had this encounter, has given his life that the church might be established. And now apparently there's a group of people, as we see happening in other places, like in the book of Corinth and Galatians, casting doubt on who Paul is and why he's doing what he's doing, and maybe even saying he's in prison because he's done wrong. The Lord's chastening him. That's why he's in prison. And they are preaching here the gospel, not even for the gospel's sake, but they are preaching it for their own selfish ambition. We don't know what that was. Money? Status? Whatever it might be, they were looking out for themselves rather than the gospel and rather than loving Paul. In verse 16, we see that. And they were supposing, look at the end of verse 16, "supposing to add affliction to my chains." You ever been in a situation where fingers were being pointed at you, you were innocent, but then someone on the outside even further starts saying things about you or doing things towards you, and you can't do anything about it? and you feel very helpless. You feel very confined. You feel mistreated. And the Apostle Paul was experiencing that in a great way right here. If you've ever been there, it could have been in church, it could have been in work, it could have been in school where these things were happening. But Paul was experiencing this, and these folks were supposing to add affliction to Paul's chains. It wasn't just enough that he was in prison. They wanted to make it worse. They wanted to break his heart. And then in verse 17, he says, "But the latter out of love." That is, those folks who preach from goodwill. "But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." I would like to ask you to turn over to Acts chapter 9 with me. Acts chapter 9. Because when we think about this defense of the gospel, we really have to go back to Paul's original calling. When the Lord Jesus appeared to him and spoke to him on the road to Damascus. And by the way, do you remember when he was going to the road to Damascus, he was going there to arrest Christians, to throw them into prison, and to he even was responsible for the murder of some. So he wasn't going there with goodwill, bearing good tidings of great joy. But he was going there rather to persecute the church. And it's then that the Lord Jesus appeared. And then Paul was blinded for 3 days. Jesus appeared to Ananias and told Ananias to go to Paul. And look at verse 15. In verse 15, these are the words of Jesus. The Lord said to him being Ananias, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." In other words, to give a defense, an apologia for Christ. So he is chosen to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Look at verse 16. "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." You see, Paul understood from the very beginning that he was going to suffer. He understood from the very beginning that he would stand before kings, before governors, before the Gentiles, and before the children of Israel, that he would stand before all of these folks and he must give a defense of who Christ is. But here in Philippians, you see the Philippians, many of those who had believed the gospel and had known Paul and knew his calling, they understood why he was in prison. But for others, they looked at his imprisonment as his punishment, as the disfavor of God upon his life. And they sought that affliction. But others preached out of love, out of love for him. They continued to preach the gospel, knowing that Paul was appointed for the defense of the gospel. And then our third point, by way of explaining the word, gospel advancement causes rejoicing. We see this in verse 18. It says there, What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Definition for pretense is putting on an act. It's an attempt to make something that is not the case appear to be. So some preached from pretense, some from truth. And what does Paul say? Only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Do you see the amazing maturity and understanding of the Apostle Paul? That even when there were those who were preaching the gospel just to make his imprisonment worse, he rejoiced in the fact that Christ was being preached. And he says, in every way, pretense or truth, it doesn't matter. Christ is preached, and that's what matters. We perhaps get focused in on ourselves. Eric does, and I suspect we may as well. We focus in on us and we forget to see the gospel and what's happening with the gospel around us and through us. And that brings us really to our application section. And let's take a look at this tonight as we have kind of explained the text, I hope, at least in part. And maybe it's given you reason to go and study it more deeply. But as far as apply the word, you might ask the question, how can I advance the gospel? And I want to give you three short ways here, quick ways, as far as the wording goes, where we can advance the gospel. First of all, speak of Christ. Second, live for Christ. And third, rejoice in Christ. Speak of Christ. Live for Christ. Rejoice in Christ. There's a book that has recently come out that I've read an article about. It says, Tell Someone. It's by Greg Laurie. And he writes in here in this book, and the title is Tell Someone You Can Share the Good News. It says in this article, picture turning on a TV news show and seeing a well-dressed news anchor sitting there and remaining silent for 60 minutes. Imagine a preacher standing in the pulpit and remaining silent for 3 minutes. But a news anchor, 60 minutes. According to the California pastor, George Lowry, a silent newscaster makes as much sense as a silent Christian. You can and must tell people news. The news that God has sent His Son Jesus Christ as a Savior for everyone who believes in Him. If you don't want to tell your neighbors, why do you hate them so much? Do y'all see the wonderful picture of that? Speak of Christ. It's been said that in a statement, preach the gospel wherever you go, and when necessary, use words. Well, we've got to preach the gospel. We've got to use words. But did you see how that also says live for Christ? Seek to live it out as well as speak and rejoice in Christ. As the gospel is being advanced through us, we can rejoice. And Paul, over and over again in this book in Philippians, says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice. I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. So we can speak of Christ. You can speak of Christ at school. You can speak of Christ. And listen, folks, just because you go to a Christian school, just because you go to the homeschool, most of homeschoolers have classes that they take somewhere. If you're in public school, Christian school, or the homeschool, it doesn't matter. Everywhere you go, you can and should speak of Jesus Christ, because there are students around you who need to hear the gospel. At work, speak of Christ. Mama's at home, speak of Christ. It's okay. We must be speaking of Christ. Number two, as far as apply the word, what matters most? All right, let's look at this. Because we think about Paul's circumstances and we think about his critics. So circumstances or gospel advancement, what do you all say? Circumstances, oh, I'm in prison, but I'm being mistreated, and I didn't do anything, but I'm here, and this isn't right. Or what matters most? That the gospel be advanced no matter where I am or what's going on. What do y'all think? What do you say? What say ye? Let's see if you're right. Oh, you are right. All right, now let's go to this next one. Critics. I can't believe they're saying all this about me. I can't believe that they're treating me this way after all I've done for them. And yet, oh, all of this. What matters most? What our critics are saying or the gospel being advanced? What say ye? Let's see if you're right. You've already... No, you are right. Number three, two practical things. Number three, two practical things. Pray for the imprisoned. Sacrifice is required. Too often, perhaps, and I don't say there's anything wrong with this. There was an email sent out, and I appreciated that greatly. Peter Jessic is in prison unjustly and sentenced to death. There are many Christians who are in prison because of the gospel. And I'll hold up this these pictures. I know you can't see them, but these are prisoners for Christ. This is from Voice of the Martyrs, a publication that I just recently received in the mail the other day. Those who are in prison already for the gospel. And while we pray for their deliverance, and Paul even prayed this or asked them to pray in verse 19, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." At some level, at some point, Paul wanted to be delivered from prison. He wanted to see them again. But Paul points out to us the most important thing. Whether he's delivered or not, it doesn't matter. But the most important thing is that the gospel be advanced. So how does this impact our prayers? As we think about those who are imprisoned, pray that the gospel would be advanced through their circumstances. Pray that the gospel would be advanced through their lives. And as we think about our lives, none of us are in prison. But as we think about our work and our school and our play and all that we do, pray and ask God, "God, advance the gospel through me and through my family." Because that is what is ultimately important, is the gospel going forth. So we pray for the imprisoned, but we also realize sacrifice is required. Paul in Philippians chapter 3. Now listen, this is important. This is important for all of us to hear. Sacrifice is required because Paul had come to a point where he said that he counts all things loss. He counted all things loss. And then he says, "And I've suffered the loss of all things." I want to tell you tonight, the gospel being furthered does not mean that we go to heaven on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through troubled seas. You see, the gospel does not advance in that way most of the time. And our messed up American thinking causes us to think that it does and that it must, or it's not in God's will. Paul was in prison for the gospel. And there were those who were saying he was out of God's will, apparently. But just because trouble and hardship and sacrifice come, it doesn't mean it's not God's will. What we must be looking at, what we must be looking for as a church, is the gospel going forward through us. And for that to happen, it will mean sacrifice of time and of money and of possessions and of wealth and of retirement and of land. It will demand that from us. Sacrifice is required. I want to read an article in closing from this magazine that I received very quickly. It's The Joy of Ministering Behind Bars. And for brevity's sake, I'll try to pick out some of the important points, but this is from the president of the Voice of the Martyrs. But he says, "I just received a letter from a brother who is in prison for his faith. He said until recently he had been discouraged about the long sentence he could face. But then one day he had the opportunity to witness to several young people in his cell. After witnessing, he said he experienced a great joy and grace from the Lord, even seeing a new purpose for his imprisonment. It is only with thanks that I can explain the amazing joy which the Lord fills me with despite the long time of my imprisonment," he wrote. "The longer I'm in prison, I live a bigger joy, and I am experiencing new touches from Jesus' pierced loving hands. The opportunities to witness have only multiplied for him. It's hard to imagine a person experiencing such joy and purpose while sitting in prison under extremely harsh conditions. In Eritrea, Christians have been locked in shipping containers, left to swelter in extreme heat. In China, Christians have been forced to help produce products for export to the United States. In other countries, Christians are forced to work very long hours with little food. They are often sleep-deprived because of the cold conditions in their cells, and they are beaten not only by their interrogators, but also by fellow prisoners. With these brothers and sisters, however, neither harsh conditions nor mental and emotional strain of prison can sideline their ministry work. They continue to see God's sovereign hand at work behind bars. I think of Chinese pastor Zhang's comment about letters he received from BOM readers during his last imprisonment. Shortly after his release, and listen, this is great, he told a BOM worker, "I'm happy that you and others tried to arrange for my release. But in one way, I'm happy that you failed. If you had been successful, there would be no church in that prison today." Similarly, the Apostle Paul viewed his time in prison as an opportunity for ministry. He told the Philippian church that his imprisonment had served only to advance the gospel, even among the imperial guard, like we read in Philippians 1 tonight. BOM founder Richard Wurmbrand also made the most of his 14 years in communist Romanian prisons. In Tortured for Christ, he wrote, listen, this is great as well, "A number of us decided to pay the price for the privilege of preaching in prison, so we accepted the jailer's terms. It was a deal. We preached and they beat us. We were happy preaching and they were happy beating us, so everyone was happy. Many believers have spent years preparing their family members for the arrest and incarceration. Their families understand the risk they take, but they are prepared to pay the price." I read this tonight not to say that you're going to be in prison for preaching the gospel, but you might. The point is, Paul was, but through his sacrifice, the gospel advanced. Church, we must be about advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can your situation, your circumstances that you are in right now, advance the gospel? Because that is what matters. Perhaps tonight it can be advanced in your own heart and mind and soul. Christ died to save sinners. And if tonight you realize that this one who was crucified on a cross from 2,000 years ago, who died a bloody death, who became a curse for us on that cross, who was buried in a borrowed tomb, not even his own, but he rose again on the third day, and he appeared to people. He was really alive. If you realize tonight that you need this Savior because you're lost and undone in your sins, then tonight the gospel can be furthered. It can be advanced right there where you are, if you will believe in him. If you need to come forward and make a declaration, to ask questions, to speak about Christ, and to declare his goodness and his faithfulness to you, even this night, do so. Today is the day of salvation. This Savior, who saved Philippians, who saved a Pharisee named Saul, can save sinners. And he does that. He does that. And the Lord adds to his church daily. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray tonight that it would embolden your church, Lord, to preach the gospel, to advance the gospel at whatever cost. And Father, I pray tonight that you'll forgive us for being too focused on us and not focusing on the gospel. And God, I pray that you'll bring us back to that and that we would repent of our being at ease in Zion and trusting in Mount Samaria, but Lord, not trusting in you and not holding fast to Christ and speaking of him and living for him and rejoicing in him. Lord, tonight we pray that this passage would revive us. Your Spirit using this passage would revive us, that we might be the people that you have called us to be because of the gospel. And Lord, tonight, if the gospel is real, suddenly it's real to someone tonight here in this place, Lord, I pray that they would have the boldness to not be ashamed of the gospel, but to declare the faithfulness of God in their life by saving them from their sins. And Lord, we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you make a decision for Christ tonight, let us know. Repent of your sins. Turn from them. Turn to Christ. And the Scripture tells us that we are to follow the Lord in New Testament baptism. Do so, picturing in that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that you've been raised to walk in newness of life. Would you come and lead us in song?